Joel. One of the things I want to start off by saying is if you're expecting to see a lot of data associated with this presentation, you're in the wrong place. We're going to talk a lot of ideas and philosophy in here about some of the things that are going on in some of these different testing types that we have going on. Dr. Stewart and myself tend to banter back and forth quite readily about the various virtues and drawbacks of different types of variety testing systems. You're probably thinking, well, why do these guys spend time talking about that? And part of it is we're looking to the future, to the next 3, 5, 6, 7 years, where we're going to find this avalanche of new technology combinations, and new varieties coming into the market at a more rapid pace. And so we're trying to lay a little groundwork ahead of time to see how we're going to be able to effectively evaluate these varieties, not only from a genetics and physiological standpoint, but how are we going to be able to report that in our extension type roles to our producers who use this information to continue their business and their way of life. So it's no big surprise. We have several different ways that we can look at variety testing. We've got our OVT system, which is replicated small plots. We can do replicated large plots like some of my colleagues in the Mid-South do, which is more based on grower equipment setup than it is row spacings and everything. They use what's available in equipment. There are strip trials that are done on grower farms as well, which are much like the replicated trials, only not replicated. We see a lot of demos out in fields. Companies will utilize module-sized plots, and then a lot of our growers will look at whole field plots where they'll plant one block of ground into a variety, and then in another field or another block of ground they'll plant another variety and make some comparisons. So each one of these each have a challenge. Okay, it's no secret on variety testing you've got maturity differences that you're trying to deal with all the time. And how do you deal with defoliating that and getting to this happy medium to where you're fair to all of these varieties? Even in small plot testing, we run into issues with soil uniformity whenever we have extremely dry years. In a test like this, 3 out of the 4 reps defoliated quite well, and the 4th rep closest to the camera didn't hardly defoliate at all and didn't have as many open bolls. There's just some things we can't anticipate in some of these tests. Do we use 2-row plots or do we use 4-row plots? I'll speak in a minute here with some previous research that have gone on about, what are the effect of having a guard row on each side of what you're going to harvest. If you're in a 2-row plot situation, each one of those rows is a guard for the varieties on either side. So there's some issues going on there as well. And finally, I'm going to reference some of the work that Dr. Bednarz has done in the past, looking at these end-of-plot effects, where you get out here to the end of the plot and you have these much larger plants due to this alley and border effect. How's that going to affect what we're doing? So if we just go back and look at some of the history, optimum plot size, 2 to 4 rows is what you'll find in the literature. Anywhere from 30 to 40 feet is going to be adequate for cotton variety testing. And again, these border rows, through some research by Luckett and others in Australia, have been found to increase the variance or the variability of some of the readings that we'll get from these small plots if you, use each row as a border for the next plot. And again, as I was saying with Dr. Bednarz, edge effects or alley effects, we can see lint yield increases of anywhere from 12 to 15% in that first 2, 2.5 foot that borders that alley where we get in with our equipment. Further than that, we can actually have some fiber quality differences that show up in that area as well, with mite and staple being affected by that voided area where you've got more access to sunlight, nutrients, and water from that alley. And that just doesn't happen in the United States. Some of the work also that was done in Australia finds that 7 out of 8 varieties they tested would have inflated lint yields because of this border or alley effect. And these problems aren't unique just to these small plots. You start going to these field scale plots and you run into soil differences, differences in moisture, just differences in the way the crop is managed and goes across the field. You'll see many differences in this picture. But just a way to illustrate, actually a good satellite photo I found that shows some small plots up here in the corner. This is some work done by my entomologist, Dr. Scott Stewart, in plant bug trials in our Mississippi Delta region. And what he has been able to do is lay out his plots up here on a uniform commerce silt loam. So he's doing a really good job of placing that trial to take out some variability. Now, if I would come in this field down in the lower left-hand corner and place in one of my strip variety trials, you'll notice the first two or three varieties mainly fall on one soil type. But then as you go to the next three or four, the soil type changes, and by the time you get to those last three, you're on three completely different soil types than those first two are laying on. Now, I can take care of some of that by going in and doing some replicated strip plots where I make sure each variety gets on each soil type. But what I want you to notice is I went from being able to look at 10 varieties down to looking at 5 varieties. So it greatly restricts the number of varieties we'll be able to look at when we go to these replicated large strip plots. Now, I'm not here to toot my own horn about my variety testing program. I just want to show you what I do and a little bit of data from my last 2 years of research comparing these different types of trials. I coordinate the OVTs. We have 5 locations. 3 of those 5 are irrigated. Standard small plot techniques, 2 rows 30 feet long, randomized complete block design. Uneconomically acceptable inputs, in my opinion. We use high inputs on irrigation. We do uniform management at every site from the day it's planted to the day it's harvested, so we know we're doing everything the same in all of these locations. For me, I use these trials to measure the genetic horsepower of a variety. It lets me get a good look at them, what they're going to do in a high input environment. My county standard trials go out in 14 to 15 locations. We'll have one or two tests depending on the number of varieties that we get. Again, these are set up based on the grower's configuration. Usually picker width determines how many rows we have, set up by the length of the field. It's a strip plot, so there's only one replication at each location. These typically are selected from the previous year's OVT data, so we're kind of using our OVT as a screen to get to these other varieties. These are producer managed. So when I put them on a producer's farm, he manages them the entire year. So I can get 14 or 15 different management schemes on these varieties. And what I use this test system for is to get a broad measure of adaptability. I want to see how it works in different environments, different management systems with different producers. So I'm going to take a minute and just compare about 5 varieties out of these 2 test systems for the last 2 years. There's nothing magical about the 5 varieties I chose. Some that are adapted to our area, Delta Pine 143 and 444, Stoneville 5327 and 4554, and Phytogen 370. Now what we end up with the OVTs and the county trials, we end up with 19 locations over 2 years, 38 location years. I always consider locations random in my county trials so that I can combine those to get a good average of what happened within the state. My OVTs, I do not have an interaction for location nor for the different years, so we were able to combine there. So we end up with a number of observations of 40 for our OVTs and 29 in this analysis I'm about to show you. Now, before we get off on a tangent talking about Chris and his statistical methods, I wanted to try to keep this analysis simple. I don't want to have a lot of variables in there to skew the data one way or the other. So essentially, we look at a very simple ANOVA analysis with really 2 variables and their interaction: the cotton variety, the test system, OVT or county trial, and that interaction. And I think the first thing that should jump off the screen and be striking to you is that in this analysis, variety didn't make a difference. Test system, OVT versus county trial, was highly significant. It was a very big difference. And then the interaction of the two was almost completely non-significant with a F value of 0.98. So I feel very comfortable in what I have been doing now that I've done this analysis to know that I don't have a lot of interactions going on between my 2 test systems. So let's just break out that significant factor of test system. The county standard trials have a lower yield. The OVTs have a higher yield. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. We would expect that. If we look at the variability over those 2 tests, have a CV of 14.7 and 14.2, so there's not much difference in the amount of variability we see in these testing systems. Again, this is over 2 years. The R-square values change a little bit. The OVT gets lower because we break out of that traditional randomized complete block analysis and go into more of a location as a random effect analysis, so it lowered. But if we look at the overall combined CV, it's down around 11, and we have a fairly decent R-square for 2 years worth of testing in that many locations of 0.64. So just having shown that, we're going to talk a little bit about the analysis and what we saw, and then a little bit about the future. So, you know, again, OVT lint yields were higher than our county trials. That's not really surprising. Even if we take some of that information from Dr. Bednauer's and say we have a 15% yield inflation in those small plots due to that edge effect, it doesn't account for all the difference we're seeing in yield. It's more along the lines of a 20 or 22% increase. So the other things such as irrigation, because none of our growers on these plots have irrigation on them, they're dry land versus our irrigated OVT sites. Timely pest control, that standard uniform treatment we give our OVTs throughout the year, our PGR use could all account for some of that yield inflation. The thing that I like though is we don't have that test system by variety interaction. And if you actually take the yields of the two varieties, these five varieties from the two test systems, what you find is they rank out identical, whether they came from the OVT or from the county trial. So that's given me a lot of confidence in the way I've been using these trials. And one of the things that I've done a little bit and didn't show the data, but we can do a chi-square analysis, which is basically where we say one of those two values, the OVT or the county test, is the expected value and compare the other one to it. It gets real messy, and it's always significant when you're using the actual lint yield values. If you convert that to like a percent of the trial average, you can lose some of the interactions that happen and get to where you don't have a big of a statistically significant effect going on between those two tests. But the end result is either test system for me gives me the same estimate of varietal performance. So I didn't really go through and do a lot on fiber quality analysis. You know, there may be differences there. You know, it's made me think a little bit about how I actually sample my OVTs and got me really strongly considering doing some end trimming in the future. You know, again, like I showed in the beginning with varietal differences, it's hard to defoliate these trials perfectly, so we can get some fiber differences there, some leaf grade differences, something like Darren was showing in the last presentation. And then a big concern to me is the way we handle our seed cotton after we harvest it. In our small plots, when we go through with that two-row picker and we get those samples and we bulk them up almost immediately, we get our weights and we store them in a similar environment to all of our other cotton. So they're quickly taken care of. The county plots, you know, the biggest complaint I have with, or I guess the biggest emphasis I have with my crew is that whenever you're out harvesting a county plot, bring those 8-pound samples back, weigh them in immediately, and get them in the storage area. And that way, we've got everything as equal as possible for seed cotton storage. Because any differences that happen, you know, in that process can dramatically alter what we get off of our loan chart. And then me, like many other people, tend to try to interpolate too much data from these different data sets. That's why I try to keep this fairly bland and simple today. You know, I think it's very apparent, you know, in my situation, my growers want to see more varieties. So I've got 20 to 25 each year in those county trials. If I went to fewer varieties or fewer locations, I feel like I would need to replicate to do as good a job with the data. You know, again, just reiterating, the OVTs, for me, are early entries and a way to judge genetic potential. The county trials give me realistic expectations because I do actually get a hand classer's leaf grade, and that allows me to calculate loan value. And let's get right down to it. Growers really trust data from other growers. In the future, some of the things that I've begun to do is to do some variety by planting date trials. I think we saw a big effect of that in Darren's data just a minute ago. And then also some technology evaluation. With all these new tech traits coming, are they worth the fee, and how do we actually test them? Because we need a lot of guard rows and split plots to do that accurately. So I hope that I've stimulated at least some interest in variety testing. And what I would really like to do is, you know, take questions here for a few seconds if we have them, but more than anything, break you know, think about this and come up with ideas and ways we can do a better job in our variety testing programs. Thank you. Are there any questions?
We've got a few minutes for questions. We're going to break after this, so.
Yes, sir.
On the field scale experiments across different soil zones or variability of the soil and whatever else, it's been shown that the data would be spatially correlated. Did you account for spatial correlation with the data?
The question is on the field scale plots that with the differences in soil types, there could be spatial correlation, and did we account for that? No, currently we do not. That's one of the things that we do not do in our testing system. The nice aspect of this system for me is we have a long history with our growers, and I would say 95% of the fields that we use, we've used before, and we have a very good feeling for the variability in the field. In the case of like our OVTs, we've used those same fields for 10 years. And so you know, I know those fields like the back of my hand as far as variability from front to back and side to side. So no, we do not account for spatial variability.